You're listening to Indiana Originals Radio, leading local living.
To the first day on 93 WIBC. It is Terry Stacy. I want to bring in our friend Mel McMahon, IndianaOriginals.com. She thinks she's got some news for us when it comes to Indiana gifts. How are you, Mel?
Terry, I feel like I have been going as fast as those cars do around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
I know it. I saw the other day you were kind of giving us a behind-the-scenes look of what it's like getting ready for the launch of Indiana Gifts. You did that on your social media. It looked like a lot of work. Are we getting close?
We are getting so close. Hopefully we can make a big announcement on Tuesday.
Okay.
Fingers crossed.
All right, all right.
But for those of you that don't know, we've opened up a new division of Indiana Originals, and it's called Indiana Gifts. The website is indiana.gifts. And we are creating a marketplace for Indiana Original businesses to sell their products to the public. So we've created a new market, a new website, and right now with everybody moving online for their shopping, you know, the timing couldn't be better. We have the holidays right around the corner, and we're just really excited to get our members and these great Indiana businesses in front of new customers.
Yeah, and the sooner the better, because you know, I'm hearing that, you know, some of these, Black Friday isn't going to happen so much anymore. A lot of stores are even going to be closed on Thanksgiving, have decided to do that this year. And so everybody's moving up their sales really beginning at the end of October online and in person. So your timing is fantastic. It sounds like everybody's in the mood to maybe start thinking about the holidays, even though we're not even yet to Halloween. But this is a perfect time to do it. I know you've got a great guest too with you today.
I do, and he's going to have his work on Indiana.gifts soon. Clint Smith, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We are so excited to learn about everything you do, because I kind of know you, you know, as a chef, and you've taught classes, you know, at a local bed and breakfast, but there's a writing side to you that we're going to talk about today. Tell us a little bit about how you got into writing and about your style, because it's very different than what we normally have on this show.
Really, I think in my late teens and early 20s, I was really desperately pursuing anything that was unconventional while at the same time going to sustain me as far as a career goes. So I started just kind of knocking around the food service industry, trying to figure out where I fit in. And I really learned that I loved cooking and loved being in the back of the house. I ended up moving to Chicago, Illinois in 2000 to attend culinary school. My best friend at the time, John Findler, he's actually a local comedian. He was kind of the same way. He found that he loved doing stand-up and improv, and he was at a Second City in Chicago and did Improv Olympic in Chicago. So both of us went up there seeking out some kind of, again, lack of convention, but something that was going to be, give us some structure. And so I attended culinary school, graduated from Le Cordon Bleu. But while I was up there in Chicago, I just started really desperately trying to tinker with writing and poetry and started to emulate a lot of writers that I admired. And it went from there.
So you were really truly energized at that moment, but you kind of found that it was poetry and writing that you love so much. So did you just start pumping stuff out right away?
I did, and I think I burned it just as fast, or threw it in the trash can just as fast. it really took me a while to integrate myself with that community, because again, there was no real guidance until I got to Chicago as far as cooking went, but there was even less guidance as far as writing went, because I really didn't know who to pursue to receive validation. It finally came in the form of Jim Powell at IUPUI, who was my mentor during the last leg of my creative writing program. And he really provided some drill sergeant structure that I needed. And so I had a lot of chefs that were already drill sergeants, but I had this kind of literary titan in Indianapolis who also provided that structure.
Well, Clint, tell us about the connection between cooking and writing. What do they have in common?
Well, it took a while. I think I intuited it as a young man that there was a connection, but I don't think I could have articulated it. Now that I'm an older man, I understand that for me, the plate and the page are almost equal. I think when in kitchens you have ingredients and you have techniques and you have the exact same thing when it comes to writing with language and different devices that you can use to tell a story. And there was a confluence, I'd say, in my 30s, I started to understand that they had this really great braiding together. When I mentioned that I needed some validation when it came to writing, I needed to start sending things out to magazines and publishers. But when it came to a piece of paper or a stack of papers that was a story, you really didn't want to follow that up with some kind of desperate proclamation about how hard you worked. It really, you had to approach it with the same confidence as a plate of food. You don't really see chefs walking out of the kitchen delivering food saying, well, I spent a lot of time on this. You're really going to like this dish. You're really going to like this dish. I worked really hard. The plate
not
really
the good ones anyway.
Yeah. And so I started to understand that really you needed to gain some intrinsic compass about those crafts, that when you delivered that plate of food, you should be confident standing behind the scenes that it makes somebody happy. And when you deliver that story, that you should be happy that someone's enjoying that, or it has the requisite effect.
What do you like to write about? What is your style?
I think my style, if I could marry Raymond Carver and Robert Aikman together, I would, which would be very, very weird, but very real. Those are probably the two topics that pop up again. I think I probably write in the mode of horror or suspense, but most of the stories I have are really rooted in real life and working people and people in the Midwest.
Well, your new book, The Skeleton Melodies, is out just in time for Halloween. Tell us what readers can expect from this one.
So this is my third book, my second collection of short stories. And when I released my first book, Ghoul Jaw, through Hippocampus Press, I was still pretty much doing my own promotion. I had a really solid publisher from New York, but I really was still trying to navigate Facebook and Twitter. And not that it's all about promotion, but I really was trying to make more connections within the community. And so while I was creating these stories, I think I was getting a better hold on the feedback I received from my colleagues. And it gave me a better definition about how I was creating the stories. And so I would say that it's a very, very solid collection, 13 stories and a novella. And they really just, I think, are elevated from what I've done before.
What draws you to horror stories? You know, Terry and I, we're both from the east side of Indianapolis. We love Halloween.
We do.
You know, it's our favorite holiday. These kinds of stories are perfect for us. But what is it for you? Why do you like this horror, the suspense? What does it do for you?
So some of it, I would say, is sentimental. Like you talk about when you say East Side, and I think of Irvington immediately. And the Irvington Halloween Festival just really encapsulates so many aesthetic themes and so many traditions. And so just emotionally, I like the idea of some type of scary suspense or some type of horror element, just from a observing point of view, where you're participating in something where you're pretty sure you're going to be safe. But on the other end of that, as I've grown older, you know, I have a family, I have kids and a wife. The things that I'm thinking about in my stories are I feel like those characters have a lot more to lose when they're based in real life. And so there's nothing scarier than having something that you care about in a position where they're vulnerable or there's a threat. And so I think some of it is pretty user-friendly, while on the other hand, there's always some kind of ominous thing around the corner in my stories.
You know, I cannot wait to get a hold of the book. It sounds exactly like what I love, truly. And I know we're going to be able to find that very soon on Indiana Gifts. Mel?
Yep. Indiana.gifts is the website. And Clint, where else can we learn more about you and your writing?
I'm on social media and numerous locations. You can check out my website. It's just clintsmithfiction.com. But there's also a corresponding Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram. I'm kind of all over the place.
Congratulations. I think it's awesome that you found something that you truly love, and you're doing very well at it. So congratulations, and we wish you just the best and continued success. Mel, IndianaOriginals.com. If you'd like to be a member, this is the time to do it and learn more about Indiana Gifts and the great stuff that's about to happen there with that branch of Indiana Originals. Anything else, Mel?
Don't forget to download the Indiana Originals app, brought to you by our friends at B&W Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Drains. So much excitement, so much coming up, Terry. It's just, you know, we're really going to try to end 2020 on a positive note.
I know you are. And you will. Thank you. Thank you both so much. Today's top stories are next on 93 WIBC.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Originals Radio. Check us out at 93 WIBC Sunday mornings at 10:45.
I'm going back to Indiana.
And visit IndianaOriginals.com to find local businesses near you. Indiana Originals, leading local living.